Here is a sentence from the previously unpublished, newly released story called Echo's Bones by Samuel Beckett. To proceed, after what seemed to Belacqua countless, as it were, eructations into the Bayswater of Elysium, brash after brash of atonement for the wet impudence of an earthly state. Okay, you see what I'm doing here. Here is how reviewers are describing the story, for specialists and masochists only. If you've never read Beckett before, starting here will likely put you off for life. And it's a nightmare. It gives me the Jim Jams. That last assessment is from his editor, who back in 1933 had commissioned the story, but once he read it, refused to publish. So why bother with this obscure book by the man who wrote great works like Waiting for Godot? We put that question to the editor of Echo's Bones, Beckett scholar Mark Nixon. He joined us from his echoey office. Professor Nixon, welcome to the show.
Well, hi. Thank you very much.
First of all, I want to talk about the story itself. It sounds like it had a pretty interesting life. It was supposed to be the final story in Beckett's first ever collection of stories. This was very early in his career as a writer. Can you describe, you know, his life at that time?
Well, this is 1933. Beckett was still a completely unknown writer. He'd published a few short pieces here and there, especially in French literary magazines. But his first novel that he wrote, Dream of Fair to Middling Women, couldn't find a publisher. So at this point in 1933, he's still struggling to make a name for himself as a literary author. And 1933 is generally a difficult year for Beckett because his father passed away and he was struggling with various illnesses. So that's a little bit of the backdrop, the background to the writing of this short story, Echo's Bones.
So the story Echo's Bones follows the tale of a man who has just come back from the dead. Can you tell us a little bit about the actual narrative of the story?
Well, the interesting thing is, of course, is that as you described in the introduction, you know, he'd already finished the collection of stories which he'd submitted to his publishers, Chatto & Windus, and they felt that it was a little bit on the short side, so they asked him to write another story. The problem was that Beckett had already killed off his main character of these stories, Belacqua, in the penultimate story. So he couldn't quite work out where to add another story, which is why he put it at the end and had to bring Belacqua back from the dead. And the merit of the story lies essentially in its experimental mode of writing. This is a writer who is very, very influenced by James Joyce and that very particular modernist style of writing. But Beckett was trying to find his own way at this time. So Echo's Bones is a kind of a crossover story between early Beckett and perhaps the Beckett that we all know from the post-war period.
The book is full of these obscure references. I think one reviewer called it a puree of references. I think the footnotes are longer than the story itself. I mean, is this his homage to James Joyce?
Well, that's one way of looking at it. You could say that it was perhaps his way of getting rid of all the material that he still had lying around in his notebooks to try and free himself from the burden. He called it the burden of note snatching. So there is a sense in which perhaps he just wanted to get everything off his chest, and that's what he said to a friend after the story had been turned down. You know, he said that I'd put everything I knew into this story. So you could see it as a homage to James Joyce's style of writing, but also of a way of purging himself of all of this material that he'd amassed over the previous years, knowing that he actually wanted to go a different way, which he did, of course. Instead of always adding to his work like Joyce did, he started then to subtract and take everything away and minimalize his writing.
Right, because the later writing is much more spare. The writing
Absolutely.
We're familiar yeah. with in things like Waiting for Godot.
Absolutely, yes. I think Echo's Bones, in thematically, but also in the shifts of register, does predict and anticipate the writing of the post-war years. There are already passages in Echo's Bones that show that he is trying to write, as he called it, without style, whilst at the same time finding it difficult to do so.
So, I mean, I do have to ask, you know, it sounds like for a Beckett scholar, this is a really fascinating work, but why, because it is an obscure work, why should a layperson read this book? Well,
I think it's a very good question. I think it's a very pertinent question. But I think the feedback and also the reviews that have come in on the book, and this is not just scholarly reviews of the book, have already shown that a general reader will find a lot of interest. Not only is the style of writing already extremely interesting, it's an extremely amusing and funny story, especially in the middle part with the exchanges between Belacqua and a character called Lord Gaul. It's the interest to the general reader will just be how Beckett is manoeuvring his way through so many different sources and different styles of writing, everything from religious imagery all the way through to very bawdy kind of writing, and I think that is something that readers will find interesting and also enjoyable.
That's Mark Nixon. He's the editor of the newly published story by Samuel Beckett, Echoes, Bones. It's out this week. Thanks so much, Mark.
Thank you very much.